The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Lojong teaching slogan number 13. Be grateful to everyone. We've been working with these Lojong teachings for a week now. And over this week, we've talked about different titles that translators have given them. The one by Norman Fisher that gives us a kind of Zen lens through which to look at this Tibetan tradition. Norm Fisher's title is Training in Compassion. And Shugyam Trungpa's title is Training the Mind. And I'll give you a new one, new to this room. Treleg Kyabgyan's title is The Practice of Lojong, Cultivating Compassion Through Training the Mind. And we've talked about mind maybe not being so good as heart-mind. And we haven't talked about training yet, but we'll get there. But I have come up with my own working title for my imaginary version of this book. And I think it's got some real marketing possibilities. And mine is, so you want to be a bodhisattva. Because after all, this is what this training in compassion, what this training, the heart-mind, is all about. This is not training for our own benefit. We're not trying to become better people through studying these slogans and much more than that, through sitting with and practicing with the impulses behind them. But we want to save all beings. We want to go through the world creating less damage and spreading more joy and more Dharma wisdom. And so it's not surprising that in many places these slogans have touched on literature that we associate with the Bodhisattva, including the Bodhisattva's vow that we read together a moment ago, and I will come back to that. But let me first go back to the slogan. Be grateful to everyone. So there is a little area now at the overlap between research psychology and self-help that's kind of in the same, you know, if it were a bookshelf, it would be on the same shelf as that comparable literature on mindfulness and on breathing awareness, which are, of course, quite the same thing. And like mindfulness and like simple breathing awareness, research psychologists have discovered that there are benefits in expressing gratitude to oneself or to others. And they have clinical studies. And so, of course, self-help people have written articles and books about it. And so apparently it's a real finding that if you, over the course of the day, notice things to feel grateful for, and you feel grateful for them consciously, and you express gratitude, you will be a happier person. That has just been proven, as much as things are proven in social psychology. And I wouldn't want anyone not to do that who's doing it. And I don't think it would be a bad idea for anyone to start doing that who isn't doing it. Because expressing gratitude is always a good thing. However, that's not what this slogan is about. Again, we're not trying to become better people. And in terms of expressing gratitude, making us happier people, I always now think of something that Reverend Kyoto Angel Williams said when she was here visiting us at the temple and at GBZC, and this was at GBZC, and she said, I'm not interested in becoming 20% happier. I'm not interested in suffering light. She said, I'm interested in liberation. And when we say that, we don't mean, again, liberation for ourselves, because that's impossible. We only become liberated when we are liberated with all beings. So, and this is where the Lojong slogan points us, towards something much wider. That this, after all, it's not express gratitude when somebody does something nice for you or you notice something good in the world. It's express gratitude to everyone. To everyone. Norman Fisher takes this in a direction that we know well because it's part of our meal service that we say both at Sashin's, and then we have a different version but in the same spirit for this retreat. And what we say before a meal at Sashin, it's a little bit more elaborate, so I'll use that one, is we reflect on the effort that brought us this food and consider how it comes to us. So this is an invitation to spread gratitude out very widely. And Norman Fisher talks about this example. So when the food comes to us, of course we feel grateful to the Tenzo, especially at this retreat. We feel grateful to our beloved Tenzo, Jenny. But we also let that gratitude ripple out, and it ripples through those who assisted her in the kitchen, and then it goes to those who stocked the shelves that Jenny faithfully visited again in various supermarkets today, because someone had to do that, and it goes out further to the truckers and shippers and others that brought that food to those markets, and it goes out further to the farmers and dairy people, and this, you know, you just feel the network getting faster and faster. The people that grew the food, sometimes perhaps under adverse conditions or even dangerous conditions. And if we want, we can keep that ripple going, and we can think of the earthworms and the pollinators and the billions of microbial creatures that actually are what makes the soil fertile, not chemicals you stick on it, but these microbes. And yes, we should go there. And we're at, suddenly, we're getting very close to all living beings. And we're very close again to that web of all beings that we sometimes call Indra's net. And that we sometimes remember in our sutra service when we say, all living beings are one seamless body. So, and we are part of this body. And we are reminded of this seamless web of all beings when we have our first bite of rice. And so that's one way that we allow our gratitude to move outward and not be confined to just the people that we know. Just the nice person that cooked our food, or the nice server at Sashin who presented it to us so gracefully and made such a sincere bow, but to all beings, and not leaving out this rich earth itself. But there's another, maybe for the Lojong teachings, more important way that this teaching should be understood, because going backwards a little bit, let's recall that we're in point three. And point three is transform bad circumstances into the path. And really, so far I haven't had a bad thing to say about anybody. This has just been this lovely, you know, web of life. It kind of sounds like I'm almost doing a children's book here. But we're talking about how to transform bad circumstances into the path. And the title that's maybe closer to the Tibetan original is Transforming Adversity into the Path of Awakening. And the Tibetan title for this slogan is Contemplate the Great Kindness of Everyone. So we put everyone and adversity together, and wow, what do we get? We start to remember that not everyone is so nice to us. And other people can be a source of adversity, at least if we allow them to be. And so this is really about taking the most annoying and irritating people in our lives and expressing gratitude to them. The people that get under our skin, the people that make us clench our teeth, the people who we're thinking about as we fall asleep and wish we could stop, the people who are the villains in what Jenny has called the puppet show of the mind that we perform for ourselves. And so we express gratitude to them. Not just to be nice. It's actually because we have good reason to be grateful to these people that represent to us the adverse side of humanity. And so this is something that comes out really clearly in the commentaries from the Tibetan tradition. And so I'll read something that's in Pema Chodron's book that we keep referring back to, which is Start Where You Are. And she describes the traditional Tibetan view of this slogan in these terms. Other people trigger the karma that we haven't worked out. They mirror us and give us the chance to befriend all that ancient stuff that we carry around with us. So other people, the people that irritate us, annoy us, get under our skin, that we can't stop thinking about in angry ways, they trigger the karma that we haven't worked out. They show us where those spots are. And of course, we never work out all of our karma. And yet, we're constantly trying to work out what we can. And so these people are our allies. They're the ones who come to... There used to be this show on British TV that was being broadcast here because it was so popular, and it was called What Not to Wear. And it was these two well-dressed, slightly snarky, but utterly charming British women. And the little tagline to get people to watch it was, your friends won't tell you what not to wear, but we're not your friends. So your friends won't point out to you where your karma hasn't been worked out. But these adverse, annoying people we're talking about, they're not our friends. And so in that sense, they are our spiritual friends. And this is at the heart of the Lojong teaching on this slogan. Let me read you another little bit from Pema Chodron. This is from a kind of a gift book that crystallizes her take on Lojong called Always Maintain a Joyful Mind. And so here's her commentary, her brief commentary. Others will always show you exactly where you are stuck. They say or do something, and you automatically get hooked into a familiar way of reacting, shutting down, speeding up, or getting all worked up. When you react in the habitual way with anger, greed, and so forth, it gives you a chance to see your patterns and work with them honestly and compassionately. Without others provoking you, you remain ignorant of your painful habits and cannot train in transforming them into the path of awakening. And I've been saying, annoying people, also though, Pema Chodron points this out in Start Where You Are, also the people that we love, they can really, they're the ones that really know where the soft spots are. So family members, let's see hands of people that have been annoyed by family members. Yes, everyone is raising their hands without moving them, right? You don't need to. You can maintain your commitment to stillness. And yet, I see two hands being held up by some people. And let's see, the ones we love, our romantic part. Oops, yep. Now the hands are clenching a little bit. Okay. So, yeah. So this is all to our advantage. And if this is sounding, if you're getting a little bit of a deja vu feeling, it's because we just read this. And here's yet another instance of where our Zen teachings that we're so familiar with have been repointed and re-enlivened for us by these Tibetan teachings. So how can we be ungrateful to anyone or anything? Even though someone may be a fool, we can be compassionate. If someone turns against us, speaking ill of us and treating us bitterly, it's best to bow down. This is the Buddha appearing to us, finding ways to free us from our own attachments. It's best to bow down. That doesn't mean being supine. That doesn't mean being craven. It's not bowing down in submission. It's bowing down in gratitude. And I think for the first time I fully understand that line and what the bowing is. It's the bowing we do when the server serves us food. There's a famous anecdote about Gurdjieff that I was going to tell at this point, but I decided I should tell one about myself and then I'll finish. And so I learn from the mistakes I make when I'm learning new things in Zen. And when I was a new student at Hank, a dozen or so years ago, we read this every week, and I thought that this is the Buddha appearing to us was a typo. I thought, well, that's kind of embarrassing. You now know that I do this. And I thought, yeah, this is the Buddha appearing in us, right? We're being the Buddha when we bow down. And then it took me about 3 or 4 weeks, and I said, oh, I'm not the Buddha. What an asshole, right? I wanted to be the Buddha. No, I'm not the Buddha. The person who is speaking ill of me and treating me bitterly, that's the Buddha. I finally understood the part about freeing one from one's own attachments. And I was so struck by this that I told my daughter about this teaching. She was 10 years old at the time. Very skeptical. A brilliant skeptical mind since the age of three, but I was so struck by this. I said, Lita, I gotta tell you about this line, and now I'm kind of working with it. And so, about a week and a half later, we were driving in the car, and we started at a light, and the car ahead of me was going in a 30-mile zone, about 14, 50 miles an hour. And this went on for a block, and it went on for another block, and I was getting really agitated. And I said, that person in front of us must be, and now that I'm getting old, this is funny, must be really old. And my daughter turned to me and said, no, Dad, that's the Buddha. So I had to bow to my 10-year-old daughter, and I had to bow to the driver in front of me, and now I bow to all of you.